So it's a privilege to be standing here today, sharing the word or giving the sermon. Am I nervous? A little bit, but probably not more than my son, 15-year-old, who came to me earlier on in the week and said, Mommy, are you sharing any jokes in your sermon at all? And I said, why? He said, can we just practice it to make sure that people laugh? Because I don't want you to be like the man on Britain's Got Talent who cried because no one laughed at his jokes. And I said, oh, that is cute, that's nice. But that was my joke, Carl. I hope that people laughed. Amen. Right, okay. Shall we share a word of prayer, please?
Here's what I found.
Not a good idea. Probably turn the volume down. Where do I do that? Yeah, you won't hear anything. Right, let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for another opportunity to sit at your feet and hear your word. I just pray, Lord, that you touch minds here today, renew our minds, transform us, Lord. Touch our hearts, O God. Soften it as we hear your word, Lord. Let it be a seed in our hearts that will go out to bless others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Right, okay, so I believe that God is speaking to us. When I was first told that I was doing the sermon, I was praying about it for weeks. And 2 weeks ago, when Shirley stood here and did her sermon, and she started with a map of the Persian Empire in around 455 BC, and I sat down thinking, oh no, she's not going to do my message. I've prepared for how many weeks now? God, I have to change it. But then she brought out another character from that time, who was Esther. Now, actually, Esther is really the foundation that she laid, becoming queen, laid the foundation for the people of Israel. So if we remember the history that Shirley gave us on that day, that the Israelites were in captivity. So at this time, they were scattered around. They were not in Jerusalem. They were not in the promised land. They were all over the place. And they were slaves. And Esther was a slave who found favor and became queen in this mighty, great Persian Empire. And through that, the people of Israel got some prestige in the society. And through that, some of them got appointed into some key positions, which God was going to use to change their story and to restore them back to Jerusalem. So people like Mordecai, who was Esther's cousin, he was appointed the advisor to the king. He became prime minister. And then years after, Nehemiah became or was appointed as the king's cupbearer. This is a very important position. We're going to find out more about that. So today I'm going to speak about Nehemiah, and I've titled my message, I Am Doing a Great Work. Now, by the end of this sermon, we are going to confidently, because we are doing a great work, but sometimes we need reminding. Sometimes God wakens us up again and reminds us and says, yeah, you're doing a great work. Believe that you're doing a great work. Amen. So before we start, I just want us to do a little bit of reflection. Where do I point it? Thank you. Right, just want us to do a little bit of reflection. So every child dreams, and sometimes it may stem from people in our lives that we look up to, our parents or people in our immediate community. And these dreams do change sometimes. So it might vary from maybe watching your favorite program and seeing Spider-Man climb this big tall tower and save people. And then you as a child sitting there thinking, I'm going to be Spider-Man. And then it can range. The next morning, you can stand out of your window, hear the sound of the bin truck picking up the bins, and you stand there and you see the magic of how the bin is lifted up and then it's tipped over and then it comes back down, and you can go, I want to be a bin man, and all of that. So yes, they do change. However, as children, we do dream. And when we grow, it doesn't stop. No matter how accomplished we are, we still have a bucket list of things that we want to achieve, and it changes. Again, we can have 100 of them and we can take them all. But does it stop there? No. Every year, every month, every time, there is something we want to achieve. Now, the question I want us to think about is, are they satisfying? Are they what brings us real joy and satisfaction and accomplishment and feel fulfilled in our lives as humans, as Christians? Are they what God wants for you and I? Is that it? That one day we will maybe tour the world, go to countries that we want to go to, get this job, get this house. Is that it? Is that all God wants for us? I believe that no. Just as we dream as children and we continue to dream and we continue to have aspirations and we continue to do that even as we fulfill all these dreams, it shows that we are a purpose-created people. God has created us for a purpose. And for Nehemiah, he realized this purpose, and that is what we are going to be reflecting on today and looking at how we are also accomplishing this purpose in the house of God. So I'm just going to start straight away in the book of Nehemiah and read chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. And it came to pass in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Susa, the citadel, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are led from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Amen. So Nehemiah, like I said earlier, was a cupbearer to the king. Now, that was a very important role. That was a really, even many Persians would probably have envied that position. He would taste the wine of the king before the king has it. He was a man of integrity. The king trusted Nehemiah. He will not drink without... So Nehemiah, in other words, risked his life for the king. He was willing to risk his life for this earthly authority, which again shows that even though he was a chosen man of God, he still believed in the earthly authority, and he submitted in that way, in the role that he performed. However, when he heard the bad news, it did strike him. He could not get over it. He prayed. He mourned for days. For a period of time, he cried, he wept. Why would he do that? Because that is a greater purpose. So even though he was fulfilling a good purpose, he's accomplished as a slave, he's doing this great job in the palace, he is still, there's still something missing in him. And I know that sometimes we might feel that sometimes, that no matter what we have achieved, there is still that emptiness, there is still that... Sometimes thinking, what is it? But it is the great work, it's the great purpose that we are fulfilling that will close that gap, that will satisfy, bring that satisfaction to us. Now, last week when we were praying or when during worship, a word came about unanswered prayer, and Anne led a prayer with the church where we prayed about if we have any unanswered prayer, not to give up, just to persist. Just to give ourselves in. So like Nehemiah, we can do that. We can continuously pray and believe that God will do it. Sometimes not in the way that we expect it to be, but according to his will, he will do it. He is a powerful God. But one thing that really strikes me about Nehemiah's prayer is how he went about it. So even though the problem was there, the walls are in ruins, they are destroyed. So Jerusalem is exposed to its enemies. We are not proud of it anymore. It's not that great city what it used to be. The gates are burned. It's so worrying. However, I am going to praise my God. So Nehemiah starts his prayer and says, O Lord, God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who you love, for those who love you and observe your commandments, please be attentive. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open. So he starts his prayer and focuses on how awesome God is and how great God is. and he does not focus on the problem, but he believes that God is awesome. That came through worship today, and I thought, God, you are speaking to us. You are an awesome God. We should be able to stand up in the face of any problems, any difficulty, and say that God is awesome. It is not that problem. And there was the last song that we sang, there was a line that said, that really says, I have everything I need. And I asked myself, I'm standing here, I don't have everything I need. There are still a couple of things more that I feel that will make my life even better. But I stood there and I said, yes, I have it, God. Because you have given me that courage. You have given me life. You have given me everlasting life, something that I can look up to more than these things that I want. Because if it's a house, it will wear, it will tear, it will not last forever. It could devalue with Brexit. I didn't plan this. But if I have my faith in you, I can wake up every morning and I can say, you are an awesome God. I can be happy. People around me might wonder, why are you always happy? Why are you always smiling? Why do you never? That's because I believe in an awesome and mighty God. Amen. Right, I'm just going to move on to chapter 2. So after Nehemiah had fasted and prayed for days and for a period of time, this is what he did. So chapter 2, and it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before. Therefore the king said to me, why is your face sad, since you are not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart. So I became dreadfully afraid and said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies waste and its gates are burned with fire? Then the king said to me, what do you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven and I said to the king, if it pleases the king and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. Amen. Again, here, what did Nehemiah do? He did not just pray and leave it, but he believed that if he made a request before the king, he could probably do something. Maybe he wasn't expecting that the king was going to do what he did for him. He thought maybe he might let me go, but this is what happened. The king himself asked, what can I do for you? What do you want me to do? How long are you going for? If you carry on reading the rest of the chapter 2, the king actually requested, what is it that you want? How long are you going for? What do you need? What a mighty God we serve. And I know that we sit here, some of us thinking, there are times that God has done things beyond our imagination. We were not expecting it to be like that. Each of us will have stories about that, that we knew God will do it, but not in that way. Wow, God, you surprised me there. He is full of surprises as long as we hold on to the faith and believe in him and keep praying and persisting. So Nehemiah was offered permission by the king. He received other things as well. The king provided supplies for him and an entourage to go with him to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. So he went. And so it's just an encouragement for us to sometimes take the action, step out in faith. And one thing that struck me as I was reflecting and contemplating on this verse and what Nehemiah did was when I first came or joined Hope Church, one thing that really I felt was really good was how the church is involved in the community, the things that Hope Church does. It is a privilege to be part of this church. There are other churches who might not find that as something God has called us to do, to get involved in the Muslim community. Some churches might find, oh, that's not really important. We can just preach the word. But how do the Muslim community get to know God unless we show them, or get to know Jesus unless we show them the way? So last week, Tony gave the example of when he was invited. If he had not, and the leaders of Hope Church had not stepped out there and opened arms to this community, they would not have invited him. They would think that we are living our lives and they are. But that is the friendship. That means that they can trust Tony to come and deliver a speech in front of hundreds of other Muslims. And so that really struck me, that Hope Church is doing a lot. The food bank, the open house, opening the doors, Azalea, and all the work that Hope Church does, showing that, yes, we support what you do. This is why we pray. We pray not so that God will perform some magic over there, but after we pray, we look around us, and this is what we want to see change in. These are the areas that we want to help in. So I just want us to reflect on what is it that God has laid on our hearts to do that consistently will not leave us. And let's pray that God should direct us in a way to bring change as Nehemiah did. So we're going to move on and have a look. So he starts building the wall. He puts the people of, he gathers the people and he puts them in families, in family groups to build sections of the wall. Again, showing how important families are. So in Hope Church, we are a family. We have the community groups, which is a great backbone for us. When you join the church, you don't feel like you are just on your own. You come here, no one knows you. But if you're part of a community, you feel part of a family. So Nehemiah put them in these groups and they started building the sections of the walls. But this is what happened. Now it happened when Sambalat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there were no breaks left in it, though at that time I had not hung the doors in the gates, that Sambalat and Geshem sent to me saying, come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me harm. So I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? But they sent me this message four times and I answered them in the same manner. Amen. Right, that is exciting. Four times, and if you carry on reading the chapter 6, it doesn't stop. They carry on scheming, trying to get him to even the temple. Come into the temple. We have something to discuss with you. But Nehemiah says, I am doing a great job. That really excites me. Sometimes we wake up on a Sunday morning and we might not be in the mood to come to church. I'm so tired. This week has been so tiring. But we are doing a great job. That should bring us here. Sometimes there might be a program that you know that you can contribute to, but maybe you've got other things around you that really can be distracting. But believe that we are doing a great job. Wake up and do it. We are doing a great job. I want you to turn to someone next to you and say, I am doing a great job. Amen. I am doing a great job. Right, okay. Right. Yes, thank you. I'm doing a great work. Right, okay, so Nehemiah was so into the work he was doing that this is what God has called me to do. This is great. Why should I leave it and come to you? What for? Not this time. I am doing a great work. And he carried on. And I've not referred to my notes once. Right, so he discovered that not everyone around him wanted him to succeed. And to stop the work, his enemies used the two things. They used threats. Sometimes they wrote to him and said, we're going to scheme. We're going to let the king know that this is what you're trying to do. Yet he rebuilt the walls in 52 days. Amen. In the face of all opposition and distraction, in today's context, it would probably be sending emails after text messages and tweet and Snapchats and vlogs and all those. But he was not deterred. He was not going to be stopped from completing his God-given assignment. So like Nehemiah, we can do the same. I just want us to think about things that really can be distracting to us. Things that can oppose what we are doing. Sometimes in the faith, people can look at you and think, well, you are a Christian, what is it? But they can call on your shortfall, they can make it look big. But it is not about that. We are not perfect, but we are made perfect through Christ. So it is not about our problems, it's not about what we cannot do or what we don't have. It is about what God has called us to do, his purpose for our lives. What is it that will bring us satisfaction when we do it, when we fulfill it? Amen. Amen. So the teacher in me thought I should bring some images to help to very less able, more able. Right, okay, so you can read the words, the more ables and then the less. Right, sorry. Right, so yes, Nehemiah was able to succeed because he was a man who understood the importance of the call. He was a man of prayer. We cannot do anything without prayer. Prayer works. It does work. He was a great leader who inspired the people. Now, apart from the opposition, apart from his enemies, there were some obstacles within. There were times that they ran out of food. Some people did not have food. There were times that the people amongst themselves were in conflict. There were quarrels that he had to sit down and sort out, that he did not let that stop them from carrying on this great work. So all of this helped him. But most importantly, he was wholly focused on God. And this morning's worship has actually confirmed that God is speaking to us. If I had spoken to Luke about this sermon and probably saw those songs, I would think, oh, maybe he changed it to suit this. But it's God speaking to the church that he is a mighty God and that we should not lose focus of that no matter what we go through. We should wake up every morning believing and knowing the God that we serve. So he was able to achieve it through his focus in on God. Am I doing well on time? I was given 30 minutes, or more than well. Right. So this is my final slide, and we will do a little bit more reflection at the end. But I just want us to learn something from Nehemiah's example, or relearn, because I know that this is a very common story. Some of us know this. Through the years, we have been tested on this and we have proven ourselves successful. However, we can always remind ourselves that in everything that we do, we should consider how God is calling us to make a difference and be willing to accept the challenge. So God has not just called us to live a happy life, for us to meet every Sunday or go to our weekly, fortnightly meetings in our communities and meet together as Christians already, and just share our stories amongst ourselves and keep it to ourselves. But there is a bigger purpose on God's heart, and that is why he's called us, and he needs us. Like Nehemiah, we can open our hearts in prayer, observe blessings that shows God favor on us, and listen with both our mind and heart. Nehemiah shared his story with the people, and that is one of the ways that he managed to get the people to work with him. He told them, he shared with them, guys, I have prayed and I have wept. And when I went before the king, this is the favor I found before the king. So we should be willing to share our stories, not just amongst ourselves as Christians, but around us, in our families. Keep praying for the people that we want to see God touch in our families and never give up, because that is the kind of thing that God will do. When he was about to destroy the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, his eyes were looking to and fro. And he said, if only I can find 10 people who stood up and prayed, who stood in the gap and prayed for these people, I will not destroy it. That is disheartening that God could not find. But today you and I are going to be people who are going to stand in the gap and just pray and not give up on looting, for example, on other parts of the world. That really touches our hearts when we watch the news and see what happens. We should look at obstacles as challenges to press on and trust God. That is a difficult one. It's not always easy. But as Christians, we should keep reminding ourselves that if we focus on God, these obstacles can overtake us. They shouldn't win. Why should the obstacles stop us from doing what God has called us to do? Because the enemy wants to steal the joy that comes from doing this great work. But we are not going to let the enemy steal that, are we? No. Right. And also to remind ourselves that we are called to bring hope to a lost generation. When I first did the sermon and I met with Tony, so my whole point was God wants us to get involved and work in church and be a part of church. But Tony then said, I think I'm getting this, Abby. think God is, the whole point is that God is not just calling us to set up the chairs and that's great work, that is brilliant because it's not easy. I've done it a few times, it's not easy. But he is calling us to a greater purpose than that. But of course, it starts from us gathering, encouraging each other. And then in our community groups, there are other things that are taking place in the communities that we can get involved in. But then also as individuals, there are changes that we can also bring to things and situations in our families and the world around us. So I was just reflecting on this, and Luton was just playing in my mind. So I just want us to do a reflection of this song that we're going to be listening to. It's by Chris Tomlin, and it's a song about God of this city, believing that God can do greater things in this city of Luton. And he will use Hope Church, he will use us, he will use the other churches in Luton to do that. So as the song plays, I just want us to reflect on the words and have a picture in our minds of parts in Luton that maybe you've driven around parts, or you've seen things on the news, or heard things on the radio about things happening in Luton, but then also in other parts of the world, that you believe that, I just want to see that change. I just want to see God in this. Let's just reflect on that as we hear the song, if it's ready. Thank you. I just want to end this sermon with a prayer. As I listened to the song, I was just reflecting on all the things that Hope Church does, and I was also thinking about the people who have given their time and all the effort they put into all the work they do. So Open House, reaching out to Muslims, and Azalea, and all the other faces and all the organizations that Hope Church works with. But also the things that we do as individuals, healing on the streets, people going out there and taking a leap of faith and praying for people, expecting God to heal them. I just want us to pray and ask God to continue this, and also continue to use us to be part of this change that is happening in Luton. Father, we thank you for your word that has come to bring us hope, your word that has come to challenge us, and your word that has come to revive us, Lord, renew our minds, Lord, and to wake us up again, and to remind us of how powerful you are, your might, your goodness, your mercy, your favor. Father, we just pray that as we leave here today, we are going to leave feeling that you are with us, and there is nothing that we cannot do as long as we believe that you are with us, Lord. Father, we pray and thank you for all the things that you're doing through Hope Church for this community, for Luton, Lord. We thank you for the people who have stepped out and are doing this great work. Father, we just pray that you will continue to give us new ideas of how to step out and reach out to our communities. In our community groups, Lord, we pray for more ways, Lord. We pray for communities to step out and reach out, Lord, and fulfill this greater purpose that you have created us for. That as we continue to do it, Lord, we will be blessed and we will be a blessing. We just thank you, Lord. For you are a good God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
I just feel it'd be good for us to respond fully to what Abby's brought. So can I ask you just to stand? What I feel is that God would want to speak to some of us, if not all of us, particularly those who think, yes, but it's all right for everyone else, but God's not going to use me. And what I just want to bring is that God uses everyone. And actually, for those who know the Bible will know it's the ones that don't think that they can do anything are more likely to be called than anything. And so I think of Moses. Moses, who had let God down, had sort of killed somebody, then gone run off in exile, thought he'd blown it. Then God speaks to him and says, I want to use you. And then Moses tells God, one after the other, all the reasons why God ought to choose somebody else. And God answers all Moses' objections and uses him. Paul talks about God doesn't choose the powerful and the wise. He calls and uses those who are nothing and makes them special. And you might think that me as a leader of the church, you see me here. Actually, I know that I'm nothing. I know, and known me for a long while. I'm just a guy from a nothing family in Luton. First member of the family not to work at Vauxhall. In a sense, feeling I had nothing to offer. And when God revealed himself to me and then called me to serve him in ministry, I gave him all the reasons why I shouldn't do it. And I don't feel adequate to do it. But as we were singing there, it's about God. And if you feel that you don't have a role to play, it's one thing for everybody else, but it can't be for you. That's not how it works. God calls us. And I don't know what it is that God's calling you to do. But you do. And you may well have your stock of reasons why you can't really do it. And God would just say, that doesn't matter. It's not up to you, it's up to him. And so I just feel I want you to accept that God wants to use you. And I just feel he wanted me to say, because until you've accepted that, then nothing that Abby has brought is relevant. But as soon as you accept, actually, God can use me, God wants to use me. He wants to fulfill his purposes through me. We can apply it. And so can I just encourage you to acknowledge all the reasons why he should use everyone else other than you. Okay, that's fine. But then get beyond that, because God does want to use all of us. And particularly, he wants to use you. And it may be that what he's put on your heart, which you know what it is, and it may be you're doing it, but you doubt it, is it really of God? Or it may be that actually it just seems so big. What Abby is saying is, if it's of God, press in into it. Because it's not about you, it's about him. And he will accomplish his purposes. But for reasons that I don't understand, he chooses to use us in achieving his purposes. And he uses inadequate people like you and I to achieve what he wants to achieve for the glory of God. Amen.